to VBAC Birth Stories, a podcast where Australians share their journey to a vaginal birth after cesarean.
We are a safe haven for women to share their own VBAC journeys and through these personal experiences, educate and empower listeners.
I'm your host, Mel.
And I'm your host, Steph. And this is VBAC Birth Stories.
Hi everyone, in today's episode we interview Queensland mum of three, Crystal, about her VBAC journey, which began with an elective caesarean with her twin daughters. Crystal tells her story with a refreshing humour and warmth, and speaks to the fact that not all elective caesareans are really wanted. During our chat, Crystal touchingly realises with hindsight what could have been possible, but was sadly taken away from her after her caesarean. Crystal's story is really about personal growth and self-advocacy that can come with evidence-based research and trust in a mother's intuition. Crystal kept her finger on the pulse during her VBAC pregnancy when her daughter was sitting in breech position early on and prepared herself for every possible outcome. We are so grateful to you, Crystal, for sharing your story with us, and we are sure that not only our VBAC listeners will gain a lot of inspiration from hearing it, but first-time mothers too who are on their own journey in transitioning from maiden to mother. It's important to understand just how profound one's birth experience can be in nurturing this transition. Crystal launched her own women's and children's clothing label just last year called Sunday Wild. Be sure to check out her Instagram page at the end of the show. We hope you enjoy this episode of VBAC Birth Stories. Hi, Crystal. Welcome to VBAC Birth Stories. So glad to have you chat with us today. You want to start by telling us just a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Crystal. I am married to my husband, Jeremy. We have three girls. We have twins, Indy and Bella. And then we also have Summer, who is our VBAC baby, our little redemption baby. She's 7 months now. And we also have our little boy, Alfred. He's a cavoodle and he is just the star of the family, really.
Oh, and you have a clothing label, is that right?
Yes, like, yes. That's actually what I do. Yes, I should probably say that. Yes, so I work from home. I have our own clothing label, which is women's and children's fashion. So we do both where it's matching. We're kind of more swaying towards like women's, but yeah, that's what I do.
Mainly little girls.
Yeah, mainly kind of like, I mean, I'm a mom of girls, so it's kind of easier that way. So
that's kind of cool because they can be a sort of inspiration as you design and put things together.
Come and try this on, please. I'll grab you with a bicky.
That's awesome.
Gorgeous. So before you fell pregnant with the twins, did you have any ideas around sort of pregnancy or childbirth? Obviously it's hard to be prepared for twins, but had you sort of prepared yourself in any way mentally for parenthood?
Look, not really. I always knew being a mum was my main thing. I feel like everyone in their head have like this age when they're growing up. For me, it was like 25, I'd be married, have kids. That was like when I wanted to have kids, have a house and everything. Like everything else was like on the way. And I was coming up to my 25th birthday. I had like a mental breakdown just thinking like, oh my God, like I don't have any kids or anything. Like that was just like the age for me. So I didn't care about careers or anything like that at the time. I just was like, no, that's just going to be like my passion, just to be a mum. My mum is a mum of seven kids as well. So I'm one of seven. So my only really thing growing up, any ideas of pregnancy or labor or birth or anything is from her. She had all of us naturally. So in my head growing up, that was just it. I'm going to have all my babies naturally. I didn't research anything, to be really honest. I went in really blindly because it was just like, oh no, like I'm going to have a natural birth. Like that's what my mum had. So that's all there is to it. So I was kind of really just driven by that. I was 24 when I fell pregnant. I just didn't really know. I was kind of like one of the first of my friendship group. Yeah.
And how did you find out about your pregnancy with the twins?
So we fell earlier than what we thought. So it was actually really funny. I just put like my private health on and then we're like, okay, because it was the February, we're going to start trying in the September. And then I don't know what happened. I think I got a flu. I got like really run down and I never got sick and I was just so sick. And I remember there's still like a memory on Facebook that pops up, and it's Jerry like got me all of this cold and flu medicine. And I was actually pregnant. Like it wasn't, I wasn't sick from that. I was just so run down. And I remember the thing was like, no amount of cold and flu is going to fix this unknown pregnancy. And then, so yeah, I got really sick. And I remember saying to him like, oh, I don't know. Like I don't feel right. Like I was really fit at the time. I had no reason to feel like that. And he's like, oh, I'll just go get a test. So I think he went and bought one solo test and then came back and it said pregnant like straight away. And I was like, no. And like I slowly went out to him and I was like, oh, it says pregnant. And then he was like straight on Google, like, can you have a false positive? Because like, although we want to, and like, although I was like, oh, that's all I want to be, I had like a mental breakdown because I just wasn't mentally there yet, because I was like, oh, it's going to happen in September. I think that I then had a bath and I cried in the bath to my mom on the phone, and then my mom was like, didn't you want this? I'm like, no, I do. I'm just so scared. Like, and yeah, so we found out that way. It was very shocking. But that was like the initial of how we found out. And then I booked in like the doctor straight away.
When you said doctors, is that the obstetrician or is that the GP? Or
no, because I had only just put my private health on. We were outside, so we had to go through the public system, which I was fine with. I wasn't like, I didn't really care. It was just more that my sisters had gone through private. So I was like, yeah, we'll go down that route type thing. So I didn't really care. So I booked in at my local GP and they couldn't figure out how far along I was, because I was, based on my period, I was just way ahead. It just wasn't working out. And then my mom got onto me straight away of like, oh, if your levels are really high, like maybe there's twins, like there could be twins in the family. I'm like, no, mom, just stop. That's not what this is. It was like, oh, it's really high. Your HCG is really high. We can't quite figure it out. We'll book you in for a scan. I would have been 5 weeks then. And I had to wait till 7 weeks to have my scan. And we were just at that point, we then went through to the nerve-wracking stage of like, okay, we're really excited to be pregnant. And we just wanted to see a heartbeat. I drank so much water because they told me to drink all this water. And I drank, I think, double what they said because I didn't realize. So I was just in pain. Like I remember just lying on the table and I was just like, I think I was just looking at the ceiling. I'm like, can you please just hurry up? Like I really need to empty my bladders a bit. They're like, okay. So I wasn't even focusing. I could just hear them say, okay, so you see that? That's the little flicker. That's the heartbeat. And then I looked and I was like, oh, that's so cool. And we're like smiling at each other. And I think I had like a tear or something. And then Jerry was like, and then I just went straight back to like, okay, hurry up. Because they told me we can empty your blood as soon. So I was just literally just focusing on that. And then Jerry was like, is that the second flicker? And I just hit him. I was like, shut up, stop freaking out. Like you're being silly. And then they were on my right and they were just quiet. And I just looked at them. I was like, can you say something? And they were like, we're just checking. We've just got to check over some things. We just want to make sure. I'm like, make sure of what? I'm like, tell me that there's just one. And then they're like, no, there's two. And I actually swore at them. I was like, F off. I'm so sorry. Just leave. I'm like, no way. There's no way. There's just no way. And Jerry and I looked at each other and we just started laughing because, like, what else do you do? Like, of course, there's two. Like, why wouldn't there be two for our first pregnancy? Of course.
That's amazing. And how did you feel then, you know, going into this pregnancy, I suppose, after the 12 weeks had passed and you started getting ready for hospital appointments and things? What was on your mind then regarding the pregnancy and the birth? Did you have any ideas at that time about what you would like?
To me, it was nothing had changed with having two. I just wanted to go natural. And that was based on no research. I didn't even know, like, if you could. I didn't know that you couldn't. I didn't know anything. Just in my mind, two babies just didn't change anything. I just wanted to make sure that they were healthy. I knew that I was going to have appointments every 2 weeks. I think it started like monthly, and then from 16 weeks or something, it went to fortnightly. So I was at the hospital switching between a scan every month, I think, or every 2 weeks, and then also an obstetrician. So I was there all the time.
You probably would have been not eligible to see midwives. You would have been in the, I guess, a high risk clinic?
I was, yeah. So I was with the obstetrician, but at that time as well, I didn't know that there was any type of care. So I didn't know about midwives or doulas or anything like that. I remember I would sit in the waiting room by myself and I'd see women with their support people like doulas, which I later found out. And I didn't know what that was. Like, I wish I did, because that would have been so helpful to know that back then. But yeah, it was pretty much just luck of the draw. Once I went to my appointment, I didn't know who I was getting, which was really hard to try to like start over each time, especially with a high risk pregnancy.
And do they automatically just deem you as high risk because you're having twins, don't they?
Yep.
Like, you can be perfectly healthy and have no other issues in the pregnancy, but because there's twins, that's, you're automatically in that category.
Absolutely. Yep, straight away.
And what were those appointments like? Did you feel supported? Did you tell the obstetricians in your appointment that you'd like to go natural?
Yeah, I didn't feel supported straight away. I remember in my first appointment, which would have been from either 8 or 10 weeks, whatever that first one was, because it was a bit earlier due to being high risk. I remember vividly, they told me, you're going to have a cesarean. And I said to them, no, I'm not. I want to go natural. And they're like, no, you know, you're small. You're not going to go full term. We don't want you to go past 36 weeks. I'm like, I'm happy with that. But there's absolutely no reason why I can't go natural. Like, those aren't reasons for me. They just kept saying that. I remember they just kept drilling it. And I said, look, I don't want to talk about this now. Anything can change. To me, I want you to know I want to go natural. Unless there's anything that's really harmful to the baby or me, then I'm happy, obviously, like I want the best. But initially, I want to go natural unless there's a reason. So that's kind of, I didn't want to talk about it until those later stages. But that's when it started. Like that, and that was the kind of, like, looking back now, like, I just get so angry when I think about that, like that they tried that early when, yeah, it's a bit of a trigger for me, that one.
Yeah. Do you want to take us to the later stages and what sort of went on there?
So the pregnancy was so smooth. They were perfect. We were booked in for 36 weeks. That was kind of either or. I knew that if we were going to go down the natural route or whatever kind of route, 36 weeks was kind of like the cutoff was what they wanted me. Which is confusing when I look back now as well, but they just wanted me to get to 30 weeks as well. So I remember them always saying, just get to 30 weeks and we're happy with that. We're happy with whatever happens after 30 weeks. So that was also a date that was kind of imprinted in our heads. So after every week, I was like, yep, this is going to be the week after 30 weeks. And it just didn't happen. And I was like, oh, I really just want to go into labor naturally. Like, I just wanted to experience it. Like, with them through the whole time saying to me, they kind of like were just drilling in a cesarean. I just wanted to experience labor. Like, if I was going to have my natural birth taken away from me, I at least wanted to experience some form of labor. And I kept like expressing that to them, but yeah, it kind of just fell upon deaf ears. But towards the later phases, when we were talking about the delivery and everything, twin B, which is Bella, she was breech. So they then kind of ramped up being like, oh no, you have to have a cesarean. You have to have a cesarean, even though twin A is in the optimal position. That's what they kept telling me. It's really risky. So they would say, she may follow down, but, and then they would just go in really hard with, and I understand they have to say the risks. I just feel like there was no alternative. Like, it was just kind of a tactic to kind of like twist my arm in a sense. Cause I guess, like, I get it. Like, I wanted them to be safe as well. And that's where it got me. I was just like, I remember the appointment that I just broke down. I think it was at 35 weeks when I eventually booked in. They were just saying to me, you know, she's not going to move. Nothing's going to happen. This is going to happen if you go natural, like all the risks and everything. And I remember just breaking down. I just cried and I said, you win. Like, book me in. Like, I don't care anymore, which sounds horrible to say, but I was just like, I can't keep coming every week and just fighting with you on this. And they scared me. Like, I was terrified. I didn't want anything to go wrong with the girls. Like, I wanted, obviously, like, everyone wants them to be there safe. And that was obviously my overarching goal. So we booked in the C-section and that was that. It was booked in for 36 weeks.
Were you scared about the idea of a cesarean at that point?
I was terrified because it was the unknown. I didn't know many people who had had it. I didn't want, you know, to have major surgery and then have twins. Like, it was many, many different things. You know, I was scared. It was something that didn't seem natural to me. You know, I wanted them there safe, but I just felt like I could have done it naturally. And like, I just wanted to give my body the chance. Like, my biggest regret is that I didn't push or know enough to push, or that I could. That was the thing. I didn't know that I could push. Like, you know, when you're going into it for the first time and you don't really have that knowledge of you can, I feel like right now there's a lot, it's very vocal online of like, you have rights, like you can say no, which I think is amazing. I wish I knew that back then. I wish I was open to that world back then because I would have pushed a bit harder. My biggest regret is that I just wish that I just pushed them to be able to go longer, to just give my body the chance to just see what it wanted to do, because I just had that taken away just from being so scared. Because like, I just don't, I still just don't see why I had to go at 36 weeks. Like I still feel like, why couldn't I have just gone a bit longer and just seen what would have happened? What if she turned down? Because, you know, since that I found out that twin A is the main position that really matters. Like that's, and I wish I knew that then, because they were just drilling in my head, no, they both have to be head down. They both have to be head down. And I remember the first time I heard a birth story talking about that twin A just had to be head down. It was like a private obstetrician, I'm pretty sure. I was like, oh, I remember I was just gobsmacked and I was like, no way. I think I cried. I was like, I can't believe that. Like, I just couldn't believe that I felt like I'd been lied to and like scared into that. But whether that was a lack of knowledge or a scare tactic, I'm not sure. So
were you told to come back to the hospital then at 36 weeks for the cesarean or?
Yeah. So we booked in, and from that point, I feel like because I'd just given up, I was just like, I just want to enjoy it. I don't want to think too negatively about it. And we had the best experience. Like we really did. It was beautiful. People ask how the cesarean was and we have nothing but good things to say about it. So it was really good to have it turn around at that point. It was, there were so many people there. I remember because you have to have, I don't even remember how many. I think there was two each for the girls and then a pediatrician each for the girls and then someone for me. The room was just packed. It was packed. And before they were like prepping, they were asking if there's anything that we kind of want to do. And we said, no, we just, you know, just talk us through it. And then we said, but we do want everyone to sing happy birthday when you pull the girls out. Like we all want to sing happy birthday. And they're like, yeah. And I just remember like it was this most special thing because there were so many people there. They were like, okay, everyone start, like, and they were like pulling Indy out and then everyone started singing happy birthday. I remember just crying like happy birthday. And it was just so sweet. And then there was like such a short window in between because we were just so like overwhelmed and they're like, okay, we're ready again. And then everyone started again singing happy birthday. And then Bella was born and it was just really beautiful. Like they were then put on my chest, no skin to skin though, which something that I really wish I kind of knew more about then. But like the delivery, like that experience was just really special. It was really cool.
Oh, that's wonderful. And did the twins come with you to recovery as well?
This is where it, like, I really struggled with. So they were put on my chest, like all wrapped up, and then I started to feel like that nausea afterwards. So then they gave me a shot and I remember just saying, oh, can you just take them off me for a second, Jerry, can you just hold them? So he was just sitting there like 2 meters away in the corner just by himself, just holding them and just smiling. And I was like, can you come sit near me, please? I was like, what are you doing? Why are you so far? Like, I'm struggling right now. And he was like, oh, yeah. So he came and sat near me and the nausea kind of passed. And then they had to go to special care. They were fine. They were perfect. The only reason why they had to go to special care was because they were small. So Bella, I'm not that mum that has like the exact
weights
or anything. I'm just not. They were both like around 1900 grams, like just shy of 2 kilos each. So I think based on that, maybe it's a regulation that they have to go to special care. So their breathing was perfect. They were going to special care and I was in recovery. And Jerry went with them. They went off. There was no other time with them. And I remember just sitting in recovery. This midwife came up to me and she was like, I guess, changing and doing all things. And I was just bawling my eyes out. And I was just like, I just want my babies. Ugh, it makes me emotional just thinking about it now. I remember just saying, like, I just really want my babies. I have, like, literally never gotten emotional over this. I don't think I've, like, fully just thought about it.
It's hard because you are separated from them in a moment where you, I guess you anticipated after the birth, even when it's after a cesarean, you just never think that you'd be separated.
No, not at all. And I think that now that I've got that comparison, now that I've got the comparison to like summer and what it was like then, I was like, wow, I think now I can kind of think about and see, you know, why things felt like breastfeeding and stuff, like now that I can see how it should be, maybe that's why, you know, it's hitting me right now, because I never really thought about it too much. I just thought it was kind of normal.
Did they warn you ahead of time? Because, you know, they were taking babies out at 36 weeks and we know that 37, I think, is considered term. So did they give you any like preparation that the babies will go to special care? Did they give you any of that in advance, Crystal?
I think they did, maybe not to the extent of like I thought I would have some more time with them. Yeah. Like I didn't think it would be that quick. And, you know, I don't think that I'm remembering it differently. Like they were on my, I've got one photo of them on my chest. I remember getting sick afterwards. And then it was just like, you know, I'm sure they had someone else they had to bring in. So it was like, just, okay, let's get them off to special care, her and the thing. But yeah, I definitely was warned about how it could be. And for me, I guess in my head at the time, I was just focused on they're fine, just going to get monitored. So in my head, I just wanted to make sure that they were okay. So, and because I wasn't aware of how, you know, crucial and important that time was together, I didn't kind of fight it in that sense. I was just like, you know, they're twins, because the whole pregnancy, you're drilled in, they're twins, they're high risk, you know, yeah, complications. So when they're finally here and they're saying, oh, we've just got to take them to special care, even though they're saying they're fine, it's still scary because they're saying you can't be with your baby because, you know, something's wrong, like whether it's their weight or not. It's still a scary thing that they're not allowed to be with you, or they are better somewhere else when they're not better anywhere else. Mm. But yeah, like I still just like remember that, just sitting there crying and just no one around.
And how was it when you were reunited with the girls?
Yeah, it was good. It was a long time though, like when I think about it. So they were born at 8:50 in the morning, 8:50 and 8:52. And I don't think I was allowed to go down to them until around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which I've heard from other people, like other people are way longer, but it was really hard. I think that the luckiest thing, I guess, for me, like I was in a lot of pain. So I was kind of in and out, like just kind of sleeping and recovering, but it was rough because I'd had my sisters and mum and mother-in-law, they were all waiting downstairs. And then they were able to go see them. And then I was, you know, they were coming up to see me, and that was really hard. Like I was glad that people were with them, but like seeing photos of other people was really hard.
Yeah.
I just don't think that I fully processed it till like now.
As a mother as well, it's the instincts, you know, that feeling of where are my children? Where are my babies? It's...
Absolutely. I just, you know, that feeling of like, you know, you're the best person to be around them. And when you can't, you know, they were in incubators as well. So when I was with them, you know, I remember I woke up one morning, it was the next morning. One of the nurses said in the middle of the night, I was allowed to go down. I found out the next morning I wasn't, because obviously like when I'd woke up, I was like, can I please go see them? I think I was crying to her. I was like, can I please just go see my kids? And then she's like, yeah, sure. And I had like the thing, and I remember her unattaching me, and I still had to walk down with her. And I remember people looking at me, but I was like, oh, she said it was fine. It was fine. And I walked down to special care. And I think Jerry the next morning when he came in, I was like cuddling the incubator. Like I'd fallen asleep down there because I just didn't want to leave them. Mm. And then, yeah, the next morning when the nurse came and checked on me, she's like, what are you doing? You shouldn't have done that. And I was like, well, they said I could. Like I just want to be with my daughters. Yeah, I remember that. I always remember like that. I woke up just cuddling the incubator.
Yeah, it's a natural kind of instinct.
Absolutely. Like, of course, if someone says, no matter how much pain you're in, of course, if someone says, yeah, you can go down, I'm going to be running down there. There's no way that I wouldn't be.
And so with the girls and their time in special care, how long did they have to spend in there? Were you explained like any of the medical sort of reasoning behind that? Were you told of why and how long it would take or any of that?
Yeah, so we were really lucky with the girls. They were only in special care for one night, and the rule kind of thing was they can come up to your room as soon as they take a bottle, and they were feeding them formula at that time. It's like, yep, okay. And I remember just trying to like, I just wanted them with me. So I remember us just being, you know, we've got to get this bottle into them. That was just our mission for the day. We just had to do that. And then they did, they fed amazing. And then they were up in the room with us and Jerry was allowed to stay, which isn't normal. I remember just crying to them and being like, we've got a full double room. Can he just sleep on the ground or on the chair or something? And they brought in a little mattress for him, which was really, really helpful because I just could not imagine him going home after that day. Like there's no way. And so they came up to the room with us and they were great. We were still bottle feeding them. It's just so confusing to even think about, like, right now, how I just thought that it was okay. You know, now just chuck your baby on your boob, like give them a chance. But then back then they were making me express, they were making me pump, they were making, like, I don't remember a lot of time when, and I was listening to the nurses, like, I was the first time mum, I didn't know. And it is on me because I should have done my research more. But when they're telling me that they were too little, they didn't want them to burn as much energy for being on me, so they wanted them to like feed in other ways. I was like, yeah, of course, I don't want them to lose weight. I want them to gain weight. So I wasn't having them on me. And that was just the beginning, obviously, of our breastfeeding journey ending very quickly.
Before you were discharged, did you make them aware about, you know, that you'd like to try breastfeeding at home?
You know what? We just wanted to get out. Like in my head, I remember just saying we were only in for 5 nights and that was just too long for me. I knew that the girls were perfectly fine. I knew that we had support there. You know, if I needed something, I could just buzz. But the one thing that people just didn't warn me about, I just didn't know, was every nurse that comes in has a different opinion. I remember one would come in and say, let's feed them for every 3 hours. She'd leave for the shift. Someone else would come in and then say, why are you doing that? Let's feed them every 4 hours. Someone else would then come in and then get cranky at me saying, no, they need to feed every 3 hours. Why are you doing 4 hours? It was such a mental game. And I remember Jerry and I were just like, we've just had it. Like, we just want to get home. I was sick of the different opinions and then feeling like we're doing something wrong because we're listening to everyone. So we just wanted to go. And then we're like, we'll figure it out when we get home. We'll see what happens. We made sure we had a tin of formula at home. We were living with his in-laws at the time. And then I remember they went out and bought heaps of different tins of formula just to see like what they would have, just to make sure, because my milk hadn't come in yet. Of course it hadn't come in.
Were you still in pain from the cesarean? Like, how did you feel in yourself at that time?
Yeah, I felt horrible. I was in a lot of pain, but I just kept up with what they were kind of giving me. And yeah, it helped, but I mean, like, it's obviously major surgery, like that lingered. And I found out that I had nerve damage. So that wasn't until like a few weeks later. I remember Jerry would have to help me out of bed because I would just get stuck and I couldn't move because the nerve pain was just so painful. And so I just have to get him, we would just have to just rip me up type thing just to push through it because there was nothing that you could do.
And how was your postpartum experience those first few weeks and with the babies and feeding and overall how you were feeling mentally?
It was just a blur, to be honest. I remember crying every day. I feel like that's pretty normal for a mum though. So mentally, I just feel like it was a normal mum experience. The breastfeeding journey was what was really hard. I put a lot of pressure on myself because I just really wanted to make it work. They were on feeding every 3 hours around the clock. I would have them on me and then I'd top them up with express milk. And then we would top up again with formula if we needed to. So then in between that of doing one baby, I'd do the other baby, then I'd have to pump straight after and then settle them, put them down. And then by that point, you'd have to start again. So yeah, it was really challenging. I remember just most of the time I was just in the room expressing and Jerry was just begging for me. He's like, just stop. Like, you've just got to one thing. It's fine. Like, I understand that you want to do it. He was so supportive. But he was like, I understand that this means a lot to you, but your mental health is so much more important. So he was like, it's okay from me, not that you need my like approval or anything, but I don't feel any other way if we were to do formula. Like, it's fine. And it's not that I was anti-formula. Like, I just feel like I had so much taken away from me. I was just like, I just want to breastfeed. Like, I just want to have that experience. So I did that for, I think, 1.5 to 2 months. And then eventually I was just like, I'm done. I'm so sorry. Like, I'm done. And then, yeah, it was not really smooth sailing from there. They had reflux, colic, and all of the fun stuff. But yeah, it was a big weight lifted once I kind of just surrendered to the fact that my milk's not coming in. There were so many factors preventing it. It just was what it was.
When you were discharged at the hospital, did they talk to you about future pregnancies?
No, not really. I don't remember having that conversation. I think it was just so full on. We just got discharged. There was no chat about future or anything. I didn't even know what a VBAC stood for, like what that terminology was. I didn't know. I don't even know if I knew that you could do it after. I'm not sure, to be really honest. Having a cesarean was very foreign to me. I didn't know what that meant for afterwards, because the only person that I really know was my sister, who had had a cesarean, but then she went on to have cesareans. So I hoped that I could have natural, but it was just kind of see what happens type thing.
And so you had like a 4-year age gap between the twins and your third baby. How did your mindset shift in that time? Did you sort of feel like, okay, now I've got a handle on the twins and I can start thinking about the possible next pregnancy?
We just kept having conversations, to be honest. It was always a case of, we want another kid. To us, we could have stopped at the two, but we both just really wanted to know what one baby felt like. I know that might just sound crazy, but we just kind of looked at Summer as like our redemption baby. Like, I really wanted to have labor. Like, I wanted to have another baby, obviously. We just felt like we missed out on so much with the girls, with, you know, not being able to experience what one baby's like the slowness, or just we enjoyed it, the girls, but it was really hard. So, yeah, we wanted to know what one baby was like. We wanted to experience like the pregnancy like that. So that's kind of what really, obviously, our urge to have a third, but that was also another really important factor that we wanted to experience all of that. So it was just a case of, when we feel ready, we'll have the chats. And so we started having the chats about it. Yeah, I think it was just one day I was like, okay, I think I'm ready. Where are you at? And he was like, yeah, I think so. Like, he needed a little bit of like a nudge, because he has really, I think he's got really bad PTSD from newborn days with the girls. I know he does. He has suppressed like a lot of memories of just, because the darling, like, he was working full time. They were every 3 hours feeding, and he'd be up with me every 3 hours. Like, once like the newborn phase calmed down, like, I obviously like, I was like, okay, you can take a step back now. But I needed him in those early hours, and he was amazing. So I can understand why he had like reservations of being like a bit worried about it. But yeah, I was like, look, they're going to be going into school soon. I didn't want to have like a baby after 30. Just personally, I just wanted to be done. Like, it's now or never for me. Yeah, we're like, okay, we'll start trying. And yeah, we just got really lucky and fell like straight away again.
Were you thinking, oh, wonder if it's twins again, or are we going to be all right? Is it going to be a singleton?
Yeah, definitely. Like, as soon as we were pregnant again, shit, what if it is twins? Yeah, Jerry was really nervous. He got the sonographer to check about 15 times, and it wasn't until after that appointment that he was like, okay, there's just one in there. We're good. We've got this.
Awesome. And at this point, had you manifested anything about the birth and what you would like for this pregnancy?
So I started to look into it when I was thinking about it. So probably earlier in the year, and we fell later in the year. So I knew a few girls at that time that had successful VBACs, and I really wanted to join the Facebook VBAC Australia group, but I didn't want people to be like, oh, you're pregnant. Are you pregnant? So I didn't join it until like I'd announced it. So I was trying to be like mindful there, but I really wanted to be open to like all of those stories. So I remember like listening to so many podcasts about VBACs and positive VBACs, but also making myself aware of the not so positive ones and the unsuccessfuls, because I wanted to be open in every situation. But I don't know, for me, people might think that I'm very naive, I guess, with certain things, but I feel like I never saw it being a problem. Like, I never felt that it would prevent me. I never felt like uterine rupture was going to be something for me. And I don't feel like I was very aware of the risks and everything, but in my head, I just felt like it was going to be fine. And that's kind of what carried me through the whole way. So a big thing for me though, when I kind of envisioned birth, was I really wanted to do a hypnobirthing course. That was something that was really important to me. trying to explain that to Jerry, he thought it was just like hippie stuff. And I was like, I remember just saying to him, if you're going to do, I know. I was like, okay, so riddle me this. Say you're going to do a marathon. Are you going to do any training? Are you going to go running, swimming? Are you going to prep for it? Or are you just going to go in blindly? And that's like a way that would explain it to him. He's like, no, I do training for it. I was like, okay, so if you're then going to give birth, which is a massive mental game, why would you not train yourself? And that's like when it clicked for him. I was like, well, it just doesn't make sense any other way. Like, how can you go in blindly? I don't feel like I'm going to be able to get into like a level of hypnosis. Amazing if I can. I don't feel like I can. But if I'm prepared and I know how to control my mind, don't you think that that's really powerful? And so I got him on board that way. He was like, oh, yeah, no, you're right. That's true. So that was something that was really important to me because I felt like I really needed to control. I needed to be in control of my mind and my breathing as much as I kind of could in that moment.
So you did, you listened to podcasts, you did a hypnobirthing course. Was there anything else that was mental or physical that you did for preparation for this birth?
Yeah. So she was breech the whole time. And obviously for me, breech is like a big trigger based on my first pregnancy. So from the beginning, that was something that I was just on top of. Every scan, I would ask her position, even if it was too early and she would be doing cartwheels, like I would always ask. And from 29 weeks, she was pretty secure and she was still breech. So from then I was like, you know what, if I don't start something now, like I know there's heaps of time, but if I just don't start something now, I just won't forgive myself for doing everything. So I found spinning babies and I bought their daily stretches, which I'll do every day to try to just open up space. Like, you know, I thought that I would have a very stretched uterus from the girls, but apparently not. Apparently it was very tight. So I started doing the daily stretches and I also bought the breech guide and it just has all different moves and stuff in there. I didn't do that to laying inversions when you're like lying upside down. So I would do those here and there, but it was mainly the stretches that I was focusing on at that point to just really open up and provide space for her. With the next scan though, she was just breech the whole time. So then I just started amping it up. So I also did chiro. I was doing chiro and acupuncture weekly as well to try to help, but none of that helped.
So do you want to tell us a little bit about the kind of care you received this time? Did you go private? Because you had obviously signed up for private, I suppose, private cover at the time of the twins' pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Did you go down that path or did you go through public again?
No, so I was really confused, to be honest, obviously based on my experience. But ultimately, I remember Jerry and I went back and forth for so long and I was like, I don't know what to do. I contacted my girlfriend, Dana, who is a midwife, and I said to her, I need you to just decide for me. Like, I need your experience. I need you, your knowledge. What do I do? Do I go private or public? And she said to me, what do you want? Do you want to have a VBAC? And I was like, yeah, 100%. Of course I do. She's like, I would recommend trying to get into the midwifery group program. And I was like, what is this? And she was like explaining it to me. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't know what that was. And she's like, try to get into the birth center. And I was like, the what? And I remember Googling and I was like, what is this? Like, how have I never heard anyone talk about this? I was like, okay, simple. Like I looked into it more and she's like, but it's really hard to get into. So as soon as you pee on that stick, you call them. And I was like, okay. So that was
such good advice.
That's all I did. So awesome. As soon as I found out I was pregnant, I booked into the doctors the next day. He got the blood results on the way. And I said to him, okay, can you send my referral to the midwifery group practice? And I'll call them and make sure that they've received it. And I remember I called them and it was just going into like Christmas holidays. And they're like, yeah, no, like, honey, you should be fine. Like, you're very early. They're like, how far are you? I was like, oh, I'm 4.5 weeks. And they're like, no, you're fine. Like, we'll get you a referral and we'll pop you in. And I was like, oh, amazing. I remember the whole Christmas period. I was just on a buzz. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be in. And I remember I was so excited to be in with them because I just thought having that, it obviously is so important. Having the continuity of care plus midwives who have, you know, mostly all the same views as you, that's who I wanted my team to be. So yeah, I was really excited when I got into the group. And then the team that I was actually in had two twin mums. So I was in a team of three and two of those ladies were twin mums and they had had VBACs. I felt really good about that because they knew where I was at and they knew my struggles and everything.
What would you say were the main differences between the appointments that you had at the high-risk clinic and with your midwives?
Oh, they were just so relaxed. I remember my first appointment, I was so nervous because I was saying, that was, you know, the first one saying, I want a VBAC. And you don't know what you're going to get hit with, whether you're with the midwifery group or not. I remember saying that and they're like, yep, that's fine. Just breezed over to the next question. And I was like, okay. And she's like, no, you're the best candidate. Unless anything really dramatically changes in pregnancy, like, we'll give it a go. And it was just really chill. It was a really good experience.
That's great. And so, you know, unless anything dramatic happens towards the end of the pregnancy, would breech be under the dramatic umbrella?
Well, at that point, we hadn't even thought that that was going to be an option. So those chats just didn't start until later. Until I remember I was probably just too anal with them about the breech thing. So I remember when it was the 29 weeks and I was starting to be like, okay, I need to get her to move. They were like, no, like, she'll move. There's heaps of time. They can flip up until the last minute. I'm like, no, I get that. But I really just want to have my finger on the pulse with this one. Like, I just don't want to be relaxed and then nothing would happen. You know, I was doing swimming. I was doing somersaults in the water at the end. I was trying to do everything.
And then what has sort of happened towards the end of the pregnancy, Crystal, and Summer wasn't moving?
Yeah. So it all kind of started to get really frustrating around 35 weeks. So it was 36 weeks that we were going away for like our baby moon family holiday with my sister, who was also pregnant at the time. And because I had never been pregnant past 36 weeks, I just wanted to go and get checked before we went away just to make sure that everything was fine. My appointment for my scan wasn't until the following week, but I was like, oh, I'll just contact my midwife. I'll just go see them and just before I go away, just to make sure, because we're going about an hour and a half away. So I went into the health clinic and they checked me over and everything, and they measured me and everything, and they were getting a bit concerned about how small I was and how small she was measuring. Mm. So they were going back and forth for a bit, and they're like, okay, can you go to the hospital now just to go get a scan to check? And I was like, okay. And I'd said to them, like, look, it's not like I'm very big. Like, I have small babies. My sisters have small babies. You know, Jerry was a small baby. Like, is it really unrealistic for me to have a smaller baby? So I went up to the hospital to get scanned, and like, I was really nervous at that point. They kind of made me feel really nervous. And I remember crying on the phone to Jerry in the car, and I was like, what if something is wrong? Like, I don't know. I just kind of had an overwhelming of emotion.
Yeah.
So yeah, I went into the scan and they said, yeah, she is small. The whole time she was kind of sitting around the 40th, and then she dropped to like the 30th percentile. And then at that point, I think when they had the scan, she was just, I think, at the 11th percentile. I went and spoke to my midwife after that. I was really concerned because ECV was going to probably be like my be all or end all. I really wanted the ECV. And I said to her, I was like, oh, will this affect the ECV? And she was like, oh yeah, not many people would do it. There may not be someone at the hospital that would do the ECV on me with two risks. So the first one being my scar and the second one being a smaller baby, because that would mean that she could go into fetal distress. Mm. And I just, like, again, I don't feel like I was naive. I just felt like everything was fine. I just didn't have that instinct that I should be worried about her. I just felt like, no, she's just a smaller baby. Like, it's not like I'm carrying large. It's not like the girls were large. I just didn't feel like anything was wrong. So they went straight to being like, oh, we think that your placenta is failing. And I was like, okay. I don't know how we jumped there, but I was like, okay, I'm just going to go away on the holiday or meet up with you next week. If you can find a doctor that will do an ECV, that would be amazing. Let's talk about it then. So I went back to my appointment the following week, and it was with the obstetrician this time, which I was just like dreading, like just based on like past experiences. And straight away, he was just like, we think your placenta is failing. We recommend a cesarean in 2 weeks. And I was just like, okay. So we've had one scan that shows that she's smaller with no comparison as to how she's, you know, growing in that period of time. So how have we gotten to now my placenta is failing? Like, to me, it just didn't make sense. And I was like, please tell me, like, if I'm missing something, please tell me. Because the last scan that we're comparing it to was at 20 weeks. Like, we haven't had a scan since. It just shows to me that she's a smaller baby. So if you're saying this, why wouldn't you be asking me to get a scan in a few days to then have that comparison? Like, in my head, that's what makes sense. Mm-hmm.
And what did they mean your placenta was failing though?
Literally nothing. Just the fact that she was smaller, to them that equaled, or to the obstetrician that equaled, that my placenta must be failing because it's not nourishing her enough for her to grow. That was it. I remember him saying, actually, if we don't get her out in time and the placenta fails, you could risk losing her. And I was just like, okay, this is that's a very strong statement to make with not a lot of information to support it. So I was really angry at that. I was really angry that he tried to say that with nothing to back it up. Like, to me, I would think that, like I said, he would have ordered a scan first and then, you know, hit me with some risks nicely rather than just going straight in of like, you may lose your baby if you don't go for a cesarean because your placenta is dying. Yeah, I couldn't wrap my head around it. And I was like, I don't want to talk about this right now. I want to go for as long as I can. So I said to him, I would like to have another scan. And they kept saying to me, no, we can't just order another scan. It just doesn't work like that. And I was like, I don't understand though. If you're worried about my placenta failing, why would there not be another scan? Why do we go straight to major surgery rather than another scan? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. But I remember even my midwife being like, oh, we're going to try really hard to get this scan. And I was like, well, can I just go privately? I'll pay for a scan. Yeah. Can I go outside and pay for a scan? They're like, oh no, they won't accept that. And I was like, I'm really struggling here. And I said to my midwife, I'm like, I'm really just struggling here to understand how we got here and that I feel like my hands are tied. I went away from that meeting. I just said, I don't want to talk about this right now, nicely. Like, but the conclusion was, I don't want to talk about this until, give me another week and let's see what happens. I'll keep doing what I'm doing, try to turn her. Then let's talk about it next week. I just kept trying to delay it because I wasn't worried about her or my placenta. I just wanted them to work on another scan and then we'd go from there. I spoke to my midwife girlfriend, actually. I called her and I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, they're saying this to me. She's like, why don't you try breech, babe? And that was kind of the first time I'd really thought about it. She's like, if your baby's in the optimal position and you present and she's in the optimal position, you know, would you like to try that? And I was like, I think I would. I'm like, I'm definitely not opposed to it. I have to look into it more. And I was like, I'll call my midwife. So I called my midwife on the drive home and I was like, would you support me in a breech delivery? And she was like, it was very confusing. I think she said yes and no in roundabout ways multiple times. But in the end, it was kind of like, yes, she would. But obviously putting it on me with the risks and everything, I'm like, that's fine. I just want to know for right now, if we had to go down that route and if it was safe, would you support me? That's all I want to know for right now. Anything can change. And she's like, yes. I was like, okay, I'll live this next week based on that and we'll go from there. So then that took us into the next week with the appointment. We eventually got the word that we could have another scan. And I pushed for that and she showed that she was still lower. So we had another meeting with the obstetrician. And that was my meeting that I was going in saying, I want to have a breech delivery. So I asked Jerry to come in with me and I warned him, I'm like, you know, it can be pretty intense. They're going to say to you all of these risks. I promise you, they're going to try to make you scared where you're going to be like, let's just do cesarean. I'm like, just please, I need you to just trust me. I need you to just have trust that I'm not going to put her or me in danger. So we went in, I met with the midwife just before that one, just because I wanted to just have a chat with her before we went in. And I said, I want to do breech. And she was like, okay, because it was one of the different midwives in my team. So we had a big chat before and then she went into the obstetricians before we went in and then they had a really big chat. And then we walked in and they said to me, we'll let you have an ECV. And I was like, sorry? And they're like, well, we've thought about it and we've gone over it and it's a lot less risks for us to perform an ECV on you than to support a breech delivery. And wow. I was just like, okay. I just couldn't believe it. Like, I was waiting to go in there, like, with not for a fight, but to talk seriously about this. Say, hey.
Hello.
And then, yeah, straight away, they're like, no, it's a lot less risks. And then they went over the risks and everything of, you know, distress. They said we needed to have a scan before to make sure that the cord wasn't wrapped around her neck or anything. And everything was fine. I was like, yep, okay, yeah, sure, absolutely. I'll have heaps of scans to make sure. And they're like, we've got to check her size again. And unless it's really, you know, really low, then we can't, or they don't recommend it. And I was like, yep, nope, that's fine. Totally fine. So they eventually then switched and said that they would do an ECV after all of that.
Wow. So I guess maybe they're just not confident in doing breech deliveries at all, that actually was the turning point, you saying, yeah, I want to attempt a breech feedback, essentially.
Yeah. And look, I don't want it to seem at all like I was naive in that sense at all. Like I had went away and done a lot of research, yeah, and I was on the Breech Australia Facebook pages as well, you know, reading the good and the bad. And I knew that there was a few doctors at that hospital that were confident in doing it, but I also knew that there were others at another local hospital. So at that point I didn't want to switch providers, but I had thought about it pending how things were going to go. That was a big last resort if I thought that I could do it type thing, because I was still a bit scared for a breech delivery. I'm not gonna lie, like obviously it's a bit foreign. So the scan went well right at the end of 38 weeks. The cord wasn't around her neck. Her size was still small, but again, they just said to me, are you sure you want to go through this? I'm like, yep, like she's perfectly healthy. And I was talking to the sonographer as well. The measurements in that scan were like this. One measurement, she was up in the 60th percentile. One, she was down in like the fifth. Like, I know it's like an averaging game. And he just kept saying to me, with her position, it is so hard, because with how she was breached, he's like, it is so hard to get an accurate reading right now. So she may well be perfectly fine, but because we're getting these lower ones, that's what they have to kind of like take into account as well, which I found really hard to grasp if they were going to try to take it away from me, to be like, yeah, you know, it was a bit of a guessing game type thing.
Yeah.
But eventually we got the results back. I went and waited in the midwife center. And they're like, yep, we'll go ahead with it. Call your husband in. So I called him to come in and he was so nervous. I was fine. I remember speaking to my girlfriend, Jess, and she'd gone through it. And she was just like, people really say it's really bad. Just zone out and just breathe through it and you'll be fine. And that's just all I thought about.
Excuse me?
That's just all I kept thinking about. I was like, just zone out. It's 2 minutes. They can only try for 2 minutes, I'm pretty sure. So I was like, it's just 2 minutes and then they'll stop and, yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be perfect. It's going to happen. And so we were waiting in the room. They have to give you the stuff to stop your uterus, like relax your uterus. We were hooked up to the ECG and everything was fine. And then the doctor came in, said all the risks and everything. And he's like, okay, let's do it. And I remember just lying there and I just zoned out. I was like, I just don't want to think about it. And then they tried once. It was really, really tight and really hard. And then his hand slipped. There was two doctors there. His hand slipped and then she fell right back. And I was like, okay. I'm like, it's fine. I know that they can try two or three times. Like, and then that's it. I was like, it's fine. I just knew it was going to work. And then he's like, do you want to go again? I was like, yeah, hurry up, do it. Let's do it. Like, I'm not here to muck around. Like, I'm ready. And so he went again and she got stuck at one point and then she just slotted in. And I was just like, oh my God. I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that she was actually head down. And then they just didn't want to take their hands away. So there was two doctors there holding her. I looked over at Jerry and he was freaking out. And he was like, that was insane. And I was like, what? Because like they're pretty rough. Like they're very rough. But I wasn't watching. Like I could feel what was happening. And he was like, oh my God, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. He's like, that was so intense to watch. And I was like, yeah, it's fine. But she's head down. Like I was on a high. I was so excited. I was so happy. So I was really, really lucky that it was successful, because I know for a lot of women it's not a successful thing. So after that, they wanted to give me a stretch and sweep, which a really gentle one, because they didn't want to make her move or anything. And intervention-wise, I was fine. So I wasn't against all intervention methods. For me, I just really wanted the labor and I was happy to just take it as it kind of comes and just to prove as we kind of went along and what I felt comfortable with. So I was like, yep, 100%, like let's get things going. I'm ready. So they did like a mini one, but my cervix was really far back. Like it was, yeah, I wasn't ready. And then I woke up on the Friday and we didn't have the girls. They went away to my mother-in-law's and I woke up to a bloody show. I remember calling my sister. I was like, oh my God, I think this is a bloody show. I think things are happening. And then I was like, oh, it might just be from my stretch and sleep. That's fine. But I had a midwife appointment that day anyway. And I remember driving in the car on the way. I was so excited. I had like my birthing oxytocin playlist. It's called oxytocin or something.
Oh.
And I was playing that and I was just so excited. I was like, oh, things are happening. And then I got in there and she's like, oh yeah, you're like 1 centimeter, but your cervix is really long. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. I'm like, all good. So I went back home. I told Jerry because he was ready to like go. I was like, let's get the bags ready and everything. And so I went back home and I was like, okay, I don't have the girls. I'm just going to really just relax in, like, this might be the last day. So I was on the ball the whole day. I had a really hot curry. And then Jerry and I was like, let's just hang out tonight. We went for a walk and did like the gutter walk and he was just laughing at me. He's like, what are people thinking? I'm like, I don't care. And then we ordered again, like a really hot, like I think it was a prawn luxo or something, and then went to bed. And I know that like sex is like what you're supposed to do because
to
of the
bring on spontaneous
yeah.
labor.
Yeah. So yeah, we were doing that as well. Yeah. So nothing happened. I thought for sure, actually that night, no, as soon as we got into bed, I started to get contractions. And then they stopped. I had like 6 and then they stopped and I was so excited, but then I eventually fell asleep. So nothing happened then. And then it was this Saturday and my whole family came over. So also to mention, I was doing like the raspberry leaf and I had ordered the Blissful Herbs. I'm not sure if you know the lady Blissful Herbs. Yeah. So I ordered her labor tea and I remember I asked them, can I start drinking this as like my raspberry leaf type thing? So I started that from 38 weeks and I really ramped it up that week. So I was having the tea a lot from that day and I was eating the leaves because my girlfriend said that she ate the leaves as well. So my sisters were just watching me like, what are you doing? I was like, well, my girlfriend ate raspberry leaves at 36 weeks and went into labor. So I'm ready to get things going. And so I was ready at that point now that she was head down. I just didn't want her to move back. So
yeah.
I was eating the tea leaves. The girls wanted me to jump on the trampoline with them. I was like barely even jumping, but I was like, oh, this is all right. Yeah, I don't think they left until about 8:30. It was such a long day. I was exhausted. And then we got into bed and of course that's when things started kicking off that night. Mm-hmm. We were just so exhausted. It started like that and they were consistent. So I'd get one and I remember messaged my sister. I was like, oh, I don't know if they're coming back again. And then, you know, it'd be like another 2 minutes and it would happen again. So I just started, I had like my app and I just started timing it just for my kind of to know. And I said to Jerry, I was like, oh, I think I'm getting them now. And then he fell asleep. And I was like, cool. So then I think I eventually woke him up after it was like probably for like half and I was like, okay, didn't last this long last time. I got up to do a walk because I obviously had read that walking can stop them. So I was like, you know, if it's serious, then if I walk around, then they should stop if it's not go time. And they didn't stop. And so I woke him up. I was like, oh, I think it's happening. Like, I think something's happening and they're just coming in waves. And that's the only way I can explain the contractions. Like, it's just a wave. Like, you can feel them slowly coming on. You're like, is this one? And then they just kind of keep going. Yeah. So that was like around the nine o'clock or so. And it was at that point we're like, okay, I know that what they say is to have a Panadol and go lie down. And I wasn't, I'd already had Panadol because I had a really bad headache from just being exhausted. But I just couldn't, I knew that I wanted to relax because, you know, it was my first time going into labor. I didn't know how long it was going to go for. So I knew that I just wanted to labor at home for as long as I can and try to maintain as much energy as I can. But I just couldn't lie down. It hurt more if I was lying down and they were coming every 2 minutes from the start. So it's not like it was excruciating pain, but it was just so uncomfortable if I laid down. So I got the ball and I was like hanging over the bed and I just couldn't get comfy. And they just kind of kept ramping up from there. And Jerry was really nervous. He just wanted to go to the hospital. And I was like, no, there's no way. Like, things are going to get a lot worse. I just want to labor at home for as long as I can. The girls were in bed. Like, everything's fine. So I started calling my mom. And I'm like, oh, I might need you to come over tonight because the girls are in bed. And I think I called her back in half an hour. I'm like, just come over now, just in case. And so I'm like, it'd be nice if you're here anyway to kind of go through it with me. And so she came over and I was trying to have a bath and I just couldn't get comfy. Jerry tried to call the midwife and she was like, just take a Panadol and go to bed. I think that in their heads, they just thought that, and I was so conscious of it, even though I felt fine, I was like, no, I want to labor at home longer. In their heads, I feel like they're like, oh, she's just a first time laborer, you know. And I said to Jerry, like, it's fine. Like, just let them know. Like, he wanted to call. I'm like, just more of a check-in. Like, this is happening. Things are happening. And then, yeah, I'm like, I don't want to go in yet. And then it got to around 1 o'clock, I think. He was starting to get a bit nervous. Like, I was in a lot of pain, but I was fine. And then he just kept whispering to my mum, I think we should go to the hospital. And then I was like, no, I don't want to go yet. Like, I don't want to go yet. And then mum was trying to help because she could see how nervous he was. She was trying to help. She's like, well, you know, Crystal, the car might be really painful. Like, maybe it's good if you do the car ride earlier rather than later. And I was like, okay, fine, you win. And I also didn't want him to be like nervous. I was like, it's fine. Maybe also in my head was that I don't want to get really comfortable at home and then have to switch up my mood, like my vibe or anything. So yeah, we're driving in, listening to our birthing playlist, and Jerry was trying to call the midwife, and like listening back on the video, I could just hear how nervous he was. He was telling her, you know, she's been having pretty intense contractions every 2 minutes. She doesn't want to come in, but I think we should. And I could tell the midwife, like, she didn't want us to go in, which was really strange. I found it really strange. And then that's kind of like frustrated me a bit because I was like, you know, I don't want to go in. I don't want them to feel like I'm just, and I should know, I shouldn't have even thought about that. Like, you know, first time labor, like I'm just being silly. But that's kind of the impression that I got, which was really strange.
You feel like they weren't taking your contractions seriously?
Or? Yeah. And Jerry got really upset over that. He was like, you know, you told us in the first call, if shit gets them every 2 minutes, then to come in, and they start intensifying. And then he said that again to her and she's like, oh yeah, no, come in then if they're like that. So it was like, it was very strange. So we eventually got in. I didn't have many contractions in the car. They'd slowed down then, and when I would have one, I would get up on all fours and like face the back and it would be fine. But then as soon as we got there and got out of the car, I had like 10 just getting up to the birth suite, which was crazy. It was just so weird. He's like, I'm so glad that we came now. I'm like, no. I think it's just playing catch up because I'm walking now. And then, yeah, so we got up there and they put us in an examination room and they were going to check us and then pop us in one of the rooms. We couldn't go to the birth center, which it's weird. The birth center is just two rooms on that side. And then the next one over is what we were in the same wing, but that's considered the birth center. But because I was considered high risk, I couldn't.
Why were you considered high risk again, Crystal?
So I was considered high risk because of VBAC.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So also, but then also because of her weight, which was really frustrating because I really wanted to labor at least in water. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't until I got there that I was told that I couldn't because of her weight, because she was too little and that was a risk. So I was really upset about that. But in my head, I was like, just don't fixate on that. It's fine. Just adapt. Don't let that discourage you. So we got into our birth suite at 2 and we didn't get examined until 3. So at 3, when they did an internal, I was 5 centimeters and they hooked me up to monitor her, which I was fine with. I was like, that's fine. Because the big thing that I kept saying to them was that my role in this is I want to really just focus on the labor, and your role, I want you to just focus on her health and make sure that she's okay so I don't have to worry about that. And if anything is happening, then come to me and tell me. But unless like she's going downhill, I just want to focus on getting through the labor and then you do your job type thing. So I was happy to be monitored for that because it allowed me to know that they were doing their job type thing. So I know some women don't want to be monitored, but I was so happy with that. So they had me hooked up with everything like around me, and I was like kind of going in and out of the shower, but I just couldn't get comfy. Like the shower was really nice, but for some reason in my head, I just kept psyching myself out being like, okay, so I'm laboring in here, but at some point I've got to get out and dry off, and then I've got to start up again with like my positioning. So I just kept fixating on that, and I was like, no, let's get out and then I'll figure out how I want to be. And my sister was there as well, actually. So I was very lucky that week there was no COVID restrictions at the hospital. But then the following week, which is when she was due, no one was allowed in. Like, just Jerry would have been allowed in. So I was really glad that she was able to be there for that. So we were just laboring that whole time. I just wanted to be standing up the whole time. Like, it was really important for me to use gravity because I just wanted to really help push her down and get her to make her way down. So a lot of the time I was just leaning over the bed, and then in between I was sitting on the ball bouncing, and then trying to walk around as much as I can. But I really struggled with the monitoring. Like, it was just really frustrating because it just kept going out of place and I was really restricted. So then it got to 5:45 in the morning, and I was in the shower at that point. And because the monitor kept dropping out, my midwife asked if she could put an internal monitor on her head, which I thought she was going to have the whole time because that's the only conversations we'd kind of had. So I was like, yeah, absolutely. And she said, to do that, we have to break your waters, because my waters hadn't broken at that point. And I was like, yep, yeah, amazing, because that should get things moving along as well. Like, I felt like things were going well, but I wanted to obviously keep the momentum. So yeah, we did that. I had to lie on the bed, and that was just so hard. Every time I had to lie down and I had a contraction, like, I just don't know how women birth on their back. Honestly, I don't get it. It was so painful. And I kept saying to her, I'm like, okay, I'm not having a contraction. Like, quick, do it quickly, because it was just really hard. But yeah, she broke my waters, and yeah, that was such a weird feeling. Like, it was obviously controlled, so she was letting it come out just really slowly, and then she hooked the monitor on really quickly, which was good. From then, I guess things just started ramping up from then.
How did you go in terms of pain relief?
The shower was, it was really good, but I wasn't opposed to pain relief at all. I just didn't want to talk about it type thing. Like, I just wanted to stay in my zone. And then I just said, just don't talk to me about it until I talk to you type thing. Like, I'll let you know if I need anything. And I really feel for the partners when they watch their, you know, their partners going through that much pain, because Jerry really struggled. He really struggled to see me go through the pain. And there was lots of like really emotional moments. And I remember in the shower, he was just asking me, he's like, you know, it's totally fine if you get pain relief. I'm like, I know that, babe. Like, I know. I know that things are going to get harder, and I feel like I'm fine right now. Like, I feel like I'm in control. I'll let you know. And he's like, I'm really struggling. I'm like, I know. I'm sorry. But, like, let me just do my thing. And I know it's hard, but it's going to be all over soon. So I really feel for him, because I couldn't even imagine, like, the roles being reversed and having to see him go through that much pain. Like, yeah, it'd just be horrible. The hypnobirthing breathing was amazing. That's just all I was focusing on. I tried to listen to the tracks throughout, but I just wanted to listen to like our oxytocin playlist. And it was like our wedding songs, the girls' favorite songs. It was just songs that, because obviously oxytocin is a really important thing during labor to help with everything. So that was something that I really wanted. And I remember we got like video of Jerry crying because the girl's favorite song came on, and it just was like a lot of emotions happening, and it was just so sweet. And yeah, it was really cool to like just have that music kind of playing and being in control. I felt very in control until I transitioned. So I'm really glad that I knew what transition was, though, because I knew the things to like look out for, and I was like waiting for like my legs to kind of tremble and like to break down and just like that really big emotional shift. I was like waiting for that. And I remember that happened. And at the time I needed someone to prompt me. I remember the midwife coming over because I just broke down. I was just leaning over the bed, bawling my eyes out. And I remember for the first time, this was about, I think 7 o'clock. So 7 a.m. It just got really intense, and they weren't stopping. It was just like going and going. And I didn't have that reprieve to get my mental state on track. And I just broke down, and Jerry broke down, and my sister broke down. And I just remember us all leaning over the bed, just crying. And it sounds so sad, but it was like one of my favorite moments when I look back and think about it, because it's just such a special moment that we all shared together as well. Like, it's just such a pivotal moment that I remember of our labor, of like, we were all kind of like in that moment together, like really heightened emotions. And I found that really cool. But yeah, my midwife came over because they were just back in the corner. She came over and she said to me, do you know what transition is? And I remembered, I just broke down again. I was like, oh my God, I made it. Like, I just felt like this sense of relief that, because I knew that I was close, like I was really close then. Because when you're in that phase, you feel like it's just never going to end. And when you feel like you're progressing and someone's saying you're in transition, like things are happening now, Oh, it was just such a relief. I was like, oh my gosh, I made it. And she asked me if I wanted to try morphine. I was like, absolutely not. No way. I remember seeing my sister in labor. She had morphine. She was so dozy. I was like, nah, not even a question. I don't want that. And she's like, what about gas? And I was like, oh, just let me sit with it for a bit and think. And then I was like, she's like, I'll just bring it in and it's up to you. If you want it, you try it. She brought it in. And I think it was around that 7:30 that I started like using the gas. And look, I don't feel like it did a lot, but I feel like it just, because the sound, you can hear yourself breathing. I feel like it's a big mental game as well, that it allows you to focus on that and focus on your breathing again when you've lost control. So that really helped me get back on track with my breathing and get some form of control back. Pain-wise though, I mean, I was still sucking down on it, but nothing changed. I don't feel like anything really changed, but it was a really good distraction. And I feel like I hear a lot of women say that as well. It was just good to have that kind of distraction thing to focus on for that last part. 8 o'clock, I started to get just a lot of pressure, like a lot. And I started to get a lot of pressure. And I remember I'd heard a lot of women talk about the involuntary pushing where your body just takes over. And I was like, I remember thinking, no way, there's no way. But I for sure felt that. I remember as soon as I felt all of that pressure, so I was standing up, I just felt my body just, I could just feel it doing its thing. And so I wasn't pushing at that point. I was just kind of, I remember in my head, my focus was just to help bring her down. So I was doing, and hypnobirthing is like to breathe down and push your breath down type thing. So I was trying to just focus on that, which, yeah, that was probably for like another hour or so. And then around 10 past nine, they said that I was fully dilated and I was like, yep, okay, go time. Let's do this. So yeah, we started pushing and it felt like hours. It felt like so long, but it was only 26 minutes. And I remember when they told me that, I was like, what the hell? Like, how did it happen so quickly?
Wow, that is quick.
Yeah, but I just felt like, I remember I'd said to them, I was like, is something happening? Because I just kept thinking that nothing was progressing. And then they were doing that, oh no, you're doing really well, but nothing was happening. Because in your head, it just seems like so long. But yeah, and I kept saying to Jerry, at one point I was like, is something happening? And he's like, yeah, they said they are. And I was like, but they're lying to me. Nothing's happening. Because I was just in that end phase and like in between those pushes where, you know, you hear women push for like 2 hours, and that's what I was prepared for. And I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe if I have to do this for that long. Power to the women that that do that. But yeah, I was very lucky. She didn't have like the moment of the head popping out or anything. It was 26 minutes of pushing, and then on that last one, she just flew out all in one go.
Wow.
Yeah, which was intense.
Wow. How did you feel?
Oh, I just remember the relief of it. Like, it was just relief. But then it just, those moments just happened so quickly. Like, I remember just, I just wanted to pick her up. I was on all fours at that point. They kept trying to tell me, because I had like a beanbag in front of me. They kept saying, lean up on the beanbag because it will help. But for some reason, I just kept dropping down to all fours because my arms were so sore from standing up the whole time and leaning over. I just kept dropping down. Yeah, that was probably my downfall because I ended up tearing and my labia teared as well. And so they said that that was due to the position. So if I was a little bit more elevated, which is what they were trying to do, I probably wouldn't have had that. So I had the labia tear and a second degree internal, but I didn't feel that one at all.
Did you feel the ring of fire?
Yes. Yeah, that was really intense. Like, I feel like I've definitely suppressed a lot of those memories though.
What was your husband's reaction when she was born, Crystal?
So, not that I knew at the time, but my sister was recording and I remember looking back, it took me some weeks to like get past the what the hell was that? What the hell just happened? As beautiful as it was, birth is intense and there was a lot of emotions there. So it took me a few weeks to look back, and when I looked back on the video, I just hear this round of applause from Jerry, and Jerry's just in the background as you can hear the midwife saying, oh, she's going to come out in one go. And then she comes out and then it's just like a standing ovation, a round of applause from Jerry. And I'm pausing the video because he's like, no, 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 I don't want to watch it. I'm not ready yet. And I paused the video. I was like, you clapped? And he's like, what do you mean? And I played it. And he was like, yeah, apparently I did. I was just really proud of you. And I was just laughing at him. And I was like, oh, that's so cute. But that's just not what I expected to hear when I was watching the video back. I was expecting to hear a baby cry. And then I hear you clapping. And he was like, oh, just so proud of you. Anyways, it's like a joke now on my Instagram. Everyone loves it. Everyone said to me, the amount of messages that I got was saying when I was writing notes yesterday, they're like, don't forget the clap. I was like, thank you. You're right. I did do a good job. I deserve that clap.
Yeah. Your placenta, did you have the injection or?
Yeah. So anything? I didn't want to, but in that moment, I have no regrets. My midwife just said to me, because I was bleeding a bit, she's like, you know, we kind of really want to speed things along because you are bleeding a fair bit. Do you mind if we give you the injection? And at that time I was just like, just do whatever you need to. That's fine. Like I was in a lot of pain just right after, which I kind of wish that that didn't happen because I didn't get stitched up for an hour. So I don't really see what the rush kind of was, to be really honest. I feel like it could have been contained in the same way and just kind of waited. But that's fine. In the moment, I'd just gotten the birth that I wanted. So I was very happy. But surprise, surprise, the placenta came out and it was the most perfect placenta, perfect health. And I remember sending Jerry over. I'm like, go look at the placenta. And then I asked the midwife, I'm like, how is the placenta look? She's like, oh, beautiful. And I was just like, I knew it. I knew it. So when they're telling you these things, I was like, it was just something that I really wanted to check. And I just knew. I knew that it wasn't dying.
That's incredible. So how much did Summer weigh?
So Summer was 2.6 kilos. Okay. So she was still little. But, I mean, she's been little this whole time. So she's still little. Like comparing against my nephew. So she's got one of my nephews is 11 days older and the other one is 4 weeks behind. She's just tiny. She's tiny and she's been crawling since 5 and a bit months. Wow. She's just on the go. So she's just a small little thing.
And your breastfeeding journey this time around, how did that compare to your experience with the twins?
Just no comparison, to be honest. Like I obviously knew I really wanted to have that skin to skin and it was just so natural. Like I only just kind of realized that they call it golden hour. Is that right? That last hour after? Yeah. So I'd said to the midwives, I really want her to breast crawl. I really want to see, because I kind of didn't believe it, which that sounds silly, but I was like, no way that this little thing can just have that much strength to crawl up to you. And so they just plonked her on me and I remember just watching her and it was just the most incredible thing, like just watching her crawl up to my boob. And really, that was really special post-birth to watch. And then we're transferred up to the room. And then from there, you know, they're wanting me to express and do all this stuff. And then they asked me to top up with formula because they had to syringe feed her because she just wasn't taking anything. Like she just didn't want to have me, or they tried a bottle. And I was like, you know, she's probably just tired. Like she's been through a really big thing. She'll tell us if she's hungry. Like she's fine. And anyways, something I didn't mention, sorry, I had expressed colostrum. So I used the Milk Boutique's colostrum box. And so I was expressing from 37 weeks. So I had a lot of colostrum on hand in case the breastfeeding journey, you know, wasn't, again, I wasn't opposed to formula, but I really wanted to give her my colostrum and everything. So, and I've also heard that that can help with your breastfeeding journey to help bring things along. So I was trying everything.
And that was obviously important to you to do that differently this time around.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I'd mentioned, like Summer was my redemption baby. Like with everything, you know, I wanted to get that birth. I wanted to experience labor. I wanted to experience breastfeeding. So I wanted to try to do everything that I could to help encourage that as well.
How was your physical recovery, Crystal, in comparison to your cesarean?
Yeah, look, it was still painful. I get asked a lot, how did it compare? I find it really hard to like answer it just because I don't remember how long I was in pain for that, just because I had to get along with the twins and everything. But I was in a lot of pain then, but I was still in a lot of pain post my vaginal birth. So my tearing was really painful. I remember for weeks I was just hunched over walking, icing myself. I would never regret it though. Like I would still go natural. It's just, you know, it's hard to compare because they're so different, but they're still, you're still in pain kind of either way, unless you're like one of these angel women that just don't tear, just, yeah. But that just was not me, unfortunately. But no, I did recover quite quickly. It was probably about 3 weeks of being just really uncomfortable. Yeah, still painful. So I can't really help women in that regard with comparing and saying it was like so much better because just different.
Yeah. And today, if you feel comfortable sharing, do you feel anything today? Are you feeling quite healthy down there? Your pelvic floor, is that all feeling like pre-birth? And
yeah, I'm feeling really good. I haven't had any issues. Everything healed really well. The big thing was like, and I don't know if you want to share this or not, but like, you know, they say there's just so much pressure on, or maybe there's not pressure, but, you know, when you have that 6 week checkup, I remember with both times my doctor saying, you know, you can start having sex now. And it's just like, I just don't understand why that's even something that needs to kind of be like, that's the last thing you're thinking about. But also I was really scared with that as well. I was so scared after my vaginal birth, and I waited a lot longer because I was really scared, but that was kind of obviously like the biggest thing.
Yeah. I felt a lot of pain. We did try after the 5 weeks, but it was really painful.
I had that too. And I've never said that I never told anyone because I was like, oh, I don't know. Does it change? Well,
100%. And I feel like the first time, like we tried and I was like, no, I can't. Like, this is just not something that I should even be thinking about right now. Like lots been going on down there, but yeah, I just find that really funny. It's like, oh, 6 weeks. It's like the big thing. I see people posting like 6 weeks of back at it and it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. And I feel like it's also, you don't feel like doing it because you're so touched out from breastfeeding and holding the babies, holding your toddlers, you know.
I don't want to be touched. I've got three kids. Like when you get into bed, you just want like nothing.
Yeah.
Just get off me.
Yeah.
I think that's a funny thing.
Yeah. I think it's not spoken about often.
Yeah.
It's a subject that like I think people should probably mention, but everyone's probably a little bit too embarrassed to talk about it.
Yeah.
How did you feel about yourself and I guess your reflections on your birth after what you've been through, your whole journey?
I was honestly just so proud. Like I'm so proud that I pushed for what I wanted and just trusted my gut with it as well. And that's kind of the biggest thing as well. Like I'm really glad that I'm able to share all that. And I did share it so openly as well on my socials, because the amount of women that just, I guess, are in my first time experience are seeing that, like it's helped them a lot. And that's a really cool feeling, because I wish I had that, of people just sharing the different methods or the things that you can say no to or that you can question. Like I wish I had that. So yeah, I felt really proud, and I feel really proud of being able to share that as well and hopefully help make someone's birth a bit different, a bit more special.
Thank you so much, Crystal, for sharing your story. We're both really excited to have you on. I guess following your journey as well, like through Instagram, I was so rooting for you. Like you could do it, and I was so happy, you know, when they said, yeah, well, we'll do that ECV after all, you know, you went through and all that advocacy. I mean, that's something to be really proud of, and as you should be. So
thank you so much. It was really cool to have everyone, including you guys, like in the DMs, and it was special to share those moments of success as well, and like I really did feel like I had everyone behind me and rooting for me. So it was really cool to have that extra support as well.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you were able to share your story on our platform, because then it's there in our library, and I'm sure that a lot of women will listen to it and get inspiration and feel admiration for what you've gone through, and especially after, you know, your feelings after your first birth. Because I think a lot of the time with elective cesareans, they're not really elective, they're more like, you know, and then there's a lot of emotions there, and it, particularly with hindsight,
absolutely,
when you learn a lot about what is actually possible and why things are the way they are, you can it's a reflection as you went through during this interview. It's very real, those emotions, so that are connected with those kind of planned cesareans as well. So
absolutely, that was really eye-opening as well to kind of go through that with you guys, which was really really cool to look back on, because I haven't, like I had said throughout, I guess I hadn't tapped into those emotions until I had that comparison with Summer. But yeah, no, I feel really honored, and I'm really, really appreciative for you guys having me on.
Oh, thank you so much.
That was lovely to meet you and chat.
Yeah, and I see you too. Thank you so much.
All the best.
Woohoo, the interview is over. I think we can press stop recording. You did it.
Woo-hoo.
You popped your podcast, Kelly.
Thank you. You guys made it so easy though.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you for listening to this VBAC story. If you like the show, please subscribe and feel free to leave a review. If you would like to connect with us on social media, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for VBAC Birth Stories. If you have a question or you'd like to express interest in sharing your personal story, email us at vbacbirthstories@gmail.com. VBAC Birth Stories is a podcast where we share women's lived experiences. Please be advised that it's not intended to replace medical advice. If you have any concerns at all during your pregnancy, please always speak to your healthcare provider.